Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
The Israelis know that the Iranians will retaliate.
In 2007, we were really a whisker's hair from engaging.
Neocons are still angling for war with Iran, and Israel could be on the verge of making sure they get it. We'll hear the rest of our conversation with journalist, author, and historian Gareth Porter, and then former FBI Special Agent Colleen Rowley of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity joins us to talk about that group's warning to President Obama that Israel may bomb Iran. As we heard last week, journalist, author, and historian Gareth Porter is warning of a new threat of an Israeli and/or U.S. attack on Iran. Gareth Porter is author of several books, including Perils of Dominance, Imbalance of Power, and The Road to War in Vietnam. Writing for Interpress Service News, Gareth Porter described problems at the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, and the role of former Deputy Director for Safeguards there, Ali Heinonen. According to Porter, Heinonen has been the driving force in turning the IAEA into a mechanism to support UN Security Council sanctions against Iran.
If you examine the role that the IAEA has played in the politics of the issue of Iran's nuclear program, it has clearly been the chosen political instrument for the coalition of states, which, as I've said, Israel is really the ringleader of. The director of the band has been Israel in the sense that they have set the pace, they have set the direction of it. And the Bush administration and the three European countries, the UK, Germany, and France, were certainly part of that coalition as well. And the United States, of course, had the political clout within the governing board of the International Atomic Energy Agency to be able to force decisions by the governing board, you know, through various kinds of threats and carrots and sticks, if you will, for countries such as India, to get them to go along with the position the United States and Israel and the other members of the coalition wanted. And so really the key point here is that since 2005, the IAEA, and this coincides with the period in which Ali Heinonen was the deputy director for safeguards in the IAEA, and lent himself completely to the strategy of this international coalition, you know, really led by Israel, but with the United States providing the political clout, as I say. He lent himself to that coalition's strategy of using the so-called alleged studies documents, or, you know, also known as the laptop of death by some people, a collection of intelligence documents that purported to show a covert Iranian nuclear weapons program from 2001 to 2003. And the IAEA did not show those documents even to the Iranians until early 2008, but nevertheless was demanding that the Iranians give explanations for these documents, which remained classified, not just classified, but remained secret from the Iranians. It was an extraordinary situation where they were put in the dock of this tribunal, if you will, without having any opportunity even to look at the evidence that was being used against them. And then there was this process in which they were shown the documents, but they were not able to take them with them to examine them. And even despite the fact that they were not given the documents to analyze, they still spotted, within a matter of a few minutes, they spotted the fact that one of the key documents, the so-called green salt process document, had fundamental technical errors in it. This is a one-page flow sheet that supposedly represented a sort of covert effort to create a uranium conversion facility, a bench-scale uranium conversion facility, something that would have been superfluous for Iran because they already had gone through that stage a decade earlier and were already building a uranium conversion facility with an entirely different technology being used. So, long story short, I have been investigating these intelligence documents for 2 years, and I have found at least 10 major indicators that they were fabricated, and the only possible national intelligence agency that could have fabricated these documents was the Israel's Mossad, which we know, because of documentation available in a book called The Nuclear Jihadist, published 3 years ago, that Mossad had an active program in 2003-2004, when these documents were written, to influence the world's news media, as well as governments, on the question of Iran's nuclear program in ways that included providing documents that were allegedly coming from their agents within Iran. So there's not much question that these were fabrications done by Mossad, and they have been incredibly effective in influencing the world's news media to heighten the narrative that Iran is hell-bent to get nuclear weapons based on documents which simply don't hold up.
Gareth Porter, you said you were going to be now working on a book about all of this. What can we expect to see, though, in Interpress Service?
Well, I don't honestly know exactly where the story is going, but I can tell you that I am working on the question of how the pro-Israeli lobby in this country, working closely, of course, with the Israeli government, is trying to maneuver the United States into a position to not just support an Israeli attack on Iran, because that would not be sufficient. What the Israelis and the pro-Israeli lobby in this country are really after is a U.S. policy of being prepared to wage full-scale war against Iran. That is the only thing that would be consistent with Israeli interests. I don't think people adequately understand the situation that the Israelis have here. They cannot carry out a war against Iran on their own. They cannot do so without the assurance that the United States will not just allow them to pass through U.S. airspace, but that the United States will be prepared to retaliate against Iran once the Israelis have carried out an attack, because the Israelis know that the Iranians will retaliate. Certainly they will retaliate if the United States is not already prepared to go to full-scale war against Iran. And they may well do so even if the United States does threaten to go to full-scale war against Iran. But the point is that it's very clear, and this can be discerned from the communications that have been put out by the most vociferous U.S. proponent of war against Iran, Reuel Marc Gerecht, former CIA operative who has been on the staff of the American Enterprise Institute and has now been transferred over to the Project for Democracies. I've forgotten the exact title of the organization now. I'm sorry.
Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
Yeah. But Gerecht has written two major pieces, huge, long articles in the Weekly Standard, one in the spring of 2006 and then another one just this past week, in which he provides the rationale for the United States to either go to war itself or to support the Israelis. If you read between the lines, it's very clear that what he really is after is a U.S. policy of full-scale war against Iran. And so I think the real story, which has not been picked up at all in the news media, is the way in which the Israelis have tried to use their assets to shift public opinion and political opinion in the United States, including in Congress and in the news media, of course, to a position of support not just for an Israeli attack, but for a policy that would include the United States using military force to essentially crush the Islamic Republic as a regime.
And Gareth Porter, what does that do for Israel? I mean, just to help us understand their motive.
The Israeli motive, of course, is to eliminate any power that could potentially block the ability of Israel to dominate the entire Middle East. Until the emergence of the Islamic Republic as a potential rival for Israel, the Israelis had unrestricted dominance militarily over the Arab world after its successive wars against its Arab neighbors. And what happened after the demise of the Soviet Union, and particularly after the Iran-Iraq War, with the emergence of Iran on the political stage in the Middle East, is that the Israelis regarded Iran as a threat to their dominance, to their ability to use force without hindrance, and particularly viewed any possibility of nuclear weapons in Iran, even the slightest chance of nuclear weapons in Iran, as a threat politically to Israel. Now, the idea that Iran is an existential threat by the nightmare scenario of dropping nuclear weapons on Israel is really not taken seriously by the Israeli elite. I am now convinced of this. If you carefully read all of the statements made by Israeli leaders, you know that this is not really the problem that they see. The real problem that they see is that, A, they cannot simply threaten to use force against, let's say, Syria or Lebanon without considering the results of this in terms of Hezbollah's relationship to Iran and so forth. And secondly, they are afraid that the Israeli public itself and Jews in the United States and abroad, in large part because Israel has so demonized Iran, obviously, will not be prepared to either remain in Israel or to emigrate to Israel because of the rise of Iran as a potential nuclear power. So all of that makes Israel determined to crush Iran if it is at all possible. That has been their aim since the beginning. They have very cleverly maneuvered successive U.S. governments, starting with the Clinton administration in particular, to really carry their water on Iran very effectively. And they have been remarkably successful over the last 3 years in shifting American public opinion from one in which only a minority regard Iran as a threat to now a majority, clearly regarding Iran as a threat. So, and of course, we know that they control a majority, a clear majority of both houses of Congress. They can pretty much get whatever resolution they want to be passed by either the House or the Senate. And they feel very confident that they can use their influence in Congress and the news media to continue this process of shifting public opinion to the point where an Obama administration would feel that it has no choice but to both approve an Israeli strike on Iran and to be prepared then to go to war against Iran and, of course, to continue to escalate to the point where they would carry out vast destruction of Iran.
And what about the U.S. military role in Pakistan?
My only comment about this is I wrote a story some weeks ago quoting a consultant to the U.S. military Special Operations Forces as saying that his contacts in the CIA drone program itself were telling him that they had concluded that this is a crazy program. It's not accomplishing what it's supposed to accomplish, which is to weaken the militant movement in Pakistan, but rather is having the opposite effect because it is a very useful tool for al-Qaeda and its closest allies in Pakistan, who see not just leaders being killed, but rank-and-file militants and their families who are being killed in these attacks. And the reaction is universally in these tribal areas that this is the work of American cowards who are afraid to come and fight us in person. And they feel like signing up in droves to oppose the Americans, and by one remove then, their Pakistani allies, the Pakistani military, and the Pakistani regime. So it is indeed having the opposite effect, according to those who are actually involved in the program itself. And the only argument that you find continually being made is that it's the only thing we have. And this, of course, is the classic bureaucratic argument for continuing to do what any bureaucracy is doing. They don't want to admit that that is the leaders of the bureaucracy, in this case, Leon Panetta, is not going to admit that it was a mistake all along. Rather, they're going to say that, this is what we need to be doing. So you have a self-propelling policy by a self-perpetuating bureaucracy.
An investigative journalist and historian, Gareth Porter, worked in Saigon during the early 70s and is author of Perils of Dominance, Imbalance of Power, and The Road to War in Vietnam, recently out in paperback, as well as other books. He writes for Interpress Service News and other outlets.
The reason we're asking for Obama to send Admiral Mullen to tell Israel not to attack Iran is because it frankly was done before.
Former FBI Special Agent Colleen Rowley joins us next. Her group, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, warned Barack Obama that Israel may bomb Iran. The warning was delivered in the form of an open letter published in Consortium News August 3rd. In it, they mentioned the idea of sending Admiral Mullen to Tel Aviv to meet with the Israeli military and tell them, as they did in 2007, not to even consider attacking Iran.
Even under the Bush administration, Admiral Mullen In 2007, we were really a whisker's hair from engaging, and Mullen kind of took that initiative, and that part of it is not rocket science, that it needs to be done again. If we do nothing at this point and basically just kind of, you know, shrug our shoulders or wink or whatever it is, it's a very dangerous situation. All the signs are that Israel really does want to engage in this attack. They probably think it's going to be easier than it actually is. You know, it's just like when we invaded Iraq and people thought it was going to be a cakewalk. And Israel does understand that they need to draw in the United States, that they could start this attack, but they can't really finish it. And so by all kinds of ways of making the United States complicit, not only maybe using airspace, you know, flying over Iraq or other areas that the United States controls to make us complicit, but there's also, once the attack occurs, immediately occurs, Iran is going to retaliate, and our troops in the Strait of Hormuz and all of those areas, the United States probably will be drawn in very quickly. So it seems like the only hope is to warn right now Israel not to do this.
This, too, could be a similar situation to the one that we saw when George W. Bush and Dick Cheney were in the White House, where it seemed as if politicians were getting ahead of intelligence, you know, with their rhetoric.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's a nice way of phrasing it, I think, is saying the politicians are getting ahead of the intelligence. Let's add the pundits. I've noticed that there are many comments about the fact that these pundits are crazy, and certainly the neocons like Max Boot. But those pundits are writing in major newspapers like the Wall Street Journal. And, of course, people dismiss them and they say, oh, look at this rhetoric. I mean, this has nothing to do with reality, and certainly the national intelligence estimate is not there. It says that there's no indication that Iran is making a nuclear weapon. The problem, though, is the politicians do read the Wall Street Journal. We now have 46, I think it's 47, including the original sponsor, Republicans that have signed the resolution, basically giving the green light, saying, we back Israel, go ahead and attack Iran, and the United States will be there. And so, obviously, these things are very important. What we hope is that the CIA's, the whole intelligence community, the State Department's intelligence group, that they will hold fast and they will look at their assessment and they'll say, really nothing has changed from the last time we told you that we have no evidence that Iran is on the road to making a nuclear weapon. And if they do that and they don't bend to these political pressures, it's very difficult for people in those positions because they get all kinds of pressure.
And pressures from some in the media.
You know, most people actually now are in a kind of denial, saying that because this is such a crazy idea of starting a third war when the first two are not even over. And I'll just say, I don't think the Iraq occupation is over at all. I think that these were kind of wordsmithing ways of changing the mission from combat. Now they say it's non-combat, but really, essentially, it's counter-insurgency or whatever, so it's not really changed. And we have doubts about Obama's keeping his promise to even end Iraq. There seems to be some insertion there of, you know, wiggle room for us to stay in Iraq. So, obviously, most people can't even fathom that this would be considered, that there would be a new war even on the horizon. And, of course, that hurts also the efforts to basically tell leadership that this is wrong, this can't be done, because people are kind of in a form of denial. We think that by basically getting the discussion going, at least, that maybe some people will, certainly in the military, they're more realistic. I think they have their ears to the ground more, and maybe there is some leadership that would take the initiative.
Well, if, as Gareth Porter said, the Mossad has been falsifying documents to make it appear that Iran is creating a nuclear weapon, then we could ask if the Israeli and U.S. intelligence communities perceive themselves as being at war against Iran already.
I hate to repeat this neocon ideology, but this idea of making your own reality and that other people can do the analysis, but by leading, they see it as, you know, the good term would be leading, and certainly taking these initial steps and getting that kind of skewed intelligence out there in the media. You saw that with Dick Cheney. he leaked some false intelligence to the New York Times about enrichment tubes, and then he goes in the media and he quotes the New York Times, even though he knows it's false intelligence. And you saw that with the Niger yellow cake. You saw this all before. And so to not have a healthy amount of skepticism that it's occurring all over again, and certainly the actual intelligence analysts who've been trained to spot these kinds of false pieces of information that are planted out there, I mean, we hope that they are smarter than this and they don't fall for that type of thing. Because, yes, that's what covert intelligence agencies often do, plant false pieces of information. Certainly it must be happening at this point, and we need to have our intelligence not be politicized and see what's actually happening. The international non-proliferation people that monitor these things, they're the best source. They're international. They don't have a dog in the fight. They're the ones that we should actually be trusting. And yes, if they spot something, yes, we need to listen. But we don't need to listen to countries' intelligence that are actually biased and have a reason to be skewing the intelligence.
The letter from Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity to President Obama does also warn him that his counterpart in Israel, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is not to be trusted, and that he is after regime change, not containment of an Iranian weapons program.
Right. You cannot seek regime change, because if you seek regime change under international law, it's basically a war of aggression. And so you saw this with Iraq again. Again, you see these things just repeating with Iran. The pretext is that there is a danger to your country, and that's why you're preempting the danger, the threat. And actually, if you find evidence that the country, knows there's no real threat, in this case, all you need to do is look at the nuclear balance. Israel has a couple hundred, at least, nuclear weapons, and they are saying that they are threatened by a country that it's not even known to have any one nuclear weapon at this point, saying it's intending to create a nuclear weapon. So you look at the true reasons for why Israel would like to take out Iran, and then you realize that it's something that is not even legal under international laws, which is changing that country's leadership. And that's, of course, totally illegal under international law. And I would say it's exactly what happened in Iraq. I think it was Wolfowitz who finally even admitted that we never really worried about weapons of mass destruction, but we just needed that as a reason.
Well, as you note in this consortium news report, Colleen Rowley, the NIE, National Intelligence Estimate, saying that they judge with high confidence that in the fall of 2003, Tehran halted its nuclear weapons program. Yet as of today, we are hearing reports, one on NPR, in fact, about what could be a second rationale for the Israelis or the Obama administration. An official at the U.S. Treasury Department claiming that Iran's Republican Guard is aiding the Taliban.
You definitely have to be a good reader. And also, some of the sources, I know in the WikiLeaks, they pointed to some damaging information that showed that, Pakistan, ISI, and even Iran also was helping the Taliban. You have to understand that the source, of course, of those WikiLeaks was the U.S. military and whatever. So when you read, you almost have to make yourself a mini intelligence agent and try to read these things and always understand who's writing it and what kind of agenda or bias the person who's writing it has. Let's hope that our media does do a better job. I mean, every time we always hope that if they can finally get their muckraking back and they can actually probe better and get some better information. It's very difficult, of course, for U.S. media to understand what's going on in Iran. We don't have the kind of people on the ground, but we've got to do a better job of getting this news out, because obviously this is the type of thing that all combines when you're in these kind of trigger hair. We're in a trigger hair situation, just as we were in 2007. I mean, it's really kind of repeating right now, and in the United States, we are kind of war-weary. I think that hurts, too, because people are just tired of this news. We can hardly stand to read it. It's gone on for 9 years, and it's very difficult for people to understand that we're perhaps repeating again exactly what occurred in 2007 when we came very close to having a third war start. We hope that there are still people, officers in the military, people in the intelligence community that have integrity and that are unwilling to be politicized and will do the right thing. Back before we launched the attack of Iraq, many people in this country pinned their hopes on Colin Powell, and they hoped that he would look out there at the intelligence and at all this skewing and say, I won't go along with these smoking mirrors, and stand up and say enough is enough. We all hope that. And, of course, he didn't. He went right along with the charade. He went into the UN, and his charts that were made up, his beautiful charts that had no information on them at all. So we hope that now there is another person like that who would actually now choose to do the right thing. Certainly in 2007, there were people in the government, including Admiral Mullen, who had integrity and chose to do the right thing. They realized that this was not correct, that to launch another war on Iran, and they did the right thing. So we all want to encourage people in government with integrity to not needlessly start another war at this point, to basically use their heads and put forth the true intelligence about the situation instead of being led by Mossad or being led by false planting of information by Israel. That's what part of this writing is about. It is certainly to encourage people in government to do the right thing. And if they have to, of course, to try in subtle ways to get the true information out to the public. Not suggesting necessarily that they leak documents to WikiLeaks, but there are other ways that people in government can get the truth out.
Would you have in mind, as you say what you just did, someone like Leon Panetta?
Well, exactly, Leon Panetta. I mean, we often write off directors and stuff. Think back. Here's another great example. Ashcroft and James Comey in the Department of Justice stood up to Bush on the warrantless monitoring program. Who would have thought that that would have happened? And so absolutely, Leon Panetta is one of the people that we hope chooses to put out the true assessment, the true estimate of intelligence about Iran, and does not go along with hyped and skewed and exaggerated and threats and planted information around the world that might have intelligence agencies behind it. This is his job. He's supposed to look out there and see what adds up and what doesn't add up, not go with yellow cake and Niger. So we will hope that Leon Panetta is certainly one. And we have a few of these intelligence positions that are people have resigned. You know, Dennis Blair resigned, Director of National Intelligence. So they're empty seats right now. So it does fall on just a few crucial individuals.
Colleen Rowley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Former FBI Special Agent Colleen Rowley is now a member of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. While still working for the FBI in 2003, she wrote a now-famous memo to the FBI questioning George W. Bush's policy on national security matters in responding to 9/11. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program is produced in Storrs, Connecticut, and syndicated nationally with Pacifica Network. TalkNationRadio.org for an archive of our shows. Underwriting for this program was brought to you by JeremyRHammond.com, political analysis from outside the standard framework. Jeremy R. Hammond has been a guest on the show. He is founder and editor of ForeignPolicyJournal.com and a recipient of the 2010 Project Censored Award. Recent stories at JeremyRHammond.com include analysis of the legality of Israel's naval blockade of Gaza and the attack on the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, the U.S. role.